Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello, 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 hello. This is the Jazz Queen and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. Mike, are you there?
Hey, yes, I'm here.
Hi, okay, I was having a little problem with the switchboard trying to get you on, so hopefully you will stay on there. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm out here at the 5th Annual Capital Book Fest out here in Orlando, Maryland. It's very nice. I've got a lot of book authors out here. You know, they're doing a lot of book signings, and a couple of national authors are out here, Omar Tyree and a couple other authors and everything. I don't know their names. I have to get their information in a minute, but pretty nice.
Okay, cool. Well, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, everyone. Our guest, Gerald Beasley, will be calling in about 1:15, about 15 minutes. We are looking forward to talking to Gerald. A lot of good things going on with him these days. We will be talking to him about his current CD, Your Move, and some of the projects that he's working on as well. So before we start with that, I guess about a few weeks ago, we interviewed a young lady named Yolanda Hunter regarding her Seasons of Music Jazz Theory, and Mike attended the concert. And so, Mike, tell us about the concert.
The concert was very, very nice. She had two independent jazz artists, and she had two neo-soul artists. She had Kanye Doss and Eric Robeson, who are neo-soul artists, and they were very hot. Like, the show was well put together. She had some nice vendors. The venue was very nice. The Bowie Performing Arts Center was very nice. It's an 800-seat theater out in Bowie, Maryland, state-of-the-art sound system. Like I said, Joaquin joined that was my first time seeing Joaquin, too. Like I said, he was very good. I was very impressed with him. And Tim Bowman was very nice, too. Tim ended the show. He closed the show out. So I got to talk to Joaquin and Tim. So hopefully we will have both of them on the show soon. So, yeah, it was a very nice concert. Okay. Yolanda did a nice job.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad you got a chance to go and check that out. And, you know, we'll keep in contact with Miss Hunter to find out, you know, her, all about her up-and-coming events for the year 2010. Hey, it's very windy where you are.
Oh, can you hear that? Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm still outside. Like, I'm sitting here, like, I'm right off of the office and everything. So, like, I'll let you go on. I'll put myself on mute for just a minute until Gerald calls in.
Okay, well, I wanted to also mention, it's been posted on Facebook this week, that smoothjazznow.com radio is up and running. And a few of the artists are now DJs. Ken Navarro, Cameron Smith, and just this morning I saw that Nick Colion will also be DJing on the website as well. Nick's show is called Keeping It Cool, and he will be airing on from 6 to 10 p.m. starting October 12th. Cameron Smith started, when was that, Thursday? Mike? Hello? Okay, I lost Mike. Cameron Smith started this past week, and Ken Navarro is also on there. The website does not give the time for Ken, so I'm not sure when.
Well, actually, Ken is the afternoon drive. Ken is the afternoon drive, so he's from 3 to 6.
Okay, all right. That's what I wrote down. I wasn't sure, but that's what I wrote down. Okay, So, but you can go to the website smoothjazznow.com and check out the lineup and the show and all the information about the show. So that's cool. And his name is Baldine?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Mr. Baldine is the creator of the website and the radio show, so you want to check that out. All right, I also got my Smooth Jazz News magazine, and I haven't had a chance to read all of the articles yet, but Bernie Williams is the cover story. He is on the cover page, and then there is a three-page article on him, so I definitely have to read that. There's also a two-page article on Bernie Scott and the American Smooth Jazz Awards. So that is cool. Well, he is in the Inside the Smooth Jazz Industry article part of it. And there's a picture here of the Blue Chip Casino and Hotel in Michigan City, Indiana, where the American Smooth Jazz Awards are scheduled to be held in October. Very nice room. Very nice room. So I got to read this article, and congratulations, Bernie.
Yes, I think that's going to be very, very good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was. It did say in the article that he was hoping for 1,000 people to be at the dinner portion of it. Scott was originally hoping to draw 1,000 attendees, but the awards ceremony is now being limited to 650 dinner guests who will be treated to live performances by a dozen nominated artists. So I think there he's going to be sending out packets of information later on this year so that you can, you know, get tickets for that. The ballot packets will be mailed out in late December to include holiday album releases, inviting the top 30 national radio personalities and journalists to choose the nominees. And then from there, it will be posted on the website, and the nominees will be announced in January when online voting begins, giving the public until March to decide the winners. Five nominees will be selected for each category, which includes male vocalist, female vocalist, group, guitarist, brass or woodwind instrumentalist, percussionist, keyboard player, new artist, international vocalist, international group, international instrumentalist, song of the year, album of the year, broadcaster of the year, and journalist of the year. Wow. He's
very
giving
nice.
Away a lot of awards. So
yeah.
That is so cool. Nicoleon is going to be the MC. Well, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's very nice. Fun. I hope he has 648 other people because I think me and you going to take the other two slots up at the dinner. So he's going to need 648 other people to come.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I will definitely be there, okay? October, yes, I will definitely be there.
Yes, I am looking forward to it as well. Definitely looking forward to this as well. There's also an article in the magazine about the owner of PrivacyWare, and that is that jean company, Norman Brown, is modeling in this month's issue. So the PrivacyWare is a company that was started to donate help with breast cancer.
Okay.
They dedicated to finding a cure for breast cancer and PrivacyWare. They're also releasing a CD of original music to raise money for breast cancer awareness and research. So the lady's name is Carolyn Jones, and this is pretty cool. So every month somebody is modeling the jeans. So the last couple of months it was Brian Culberson, and now it is Norman Brown. I love this magazine. If you are not a subscriber, if you are a diehard Smooth Jazz fan, you have to have this magazine. And Melanie Maxwell, I would love to interview you about this magazine. Please hit me up on Facebook, or you can email me at talkingsmoothjazz@yahoo.com. I would really love to talk to you about this magazine. I think you guys do a wonderful job with this magazine. It's just filled with great information. They're giving away stuff every month. You can go on the website and enter to win free concert tickets. So all kinds of good stuff going on. So this is a great magazine. So pick it up. Subscribe to it if you can. It's really good. And then it's published from February through December. They don't publish anything in January. So it's pretty good. So I'm looking forward to reading this article on Bernie Williams. So, Mike, what else is going on in the D.C. area?
Well, just recently, Bernie Williams did play here. He was out at Rams Head in Annapolis, so he was here at Rams Head. And Will Downing is actually here tonight. Will Downing is at the Bridgeman tonight performing. So you guys, I think that show is actually sold out, so you guys are out of luck. If you wanted to go see Will, I think it's too late because all of the tickets are gone. And that's about it. Next weekend, we have the Robert Smoot and Brinkhorn Entertainment having his third anniversary show. That's coming up. Like I said, he has Brown on the Airplane, Shang is hosting, and there's a couple of other good artists and everything. Stoney Ellis will not be there because, as everybody knows, the Capital Jazz Cruise starts next week, October 10th through the 16th. Like I said, all the artists will be on the Capital Jazz Cruise, so that's leaving out of Baltimore. And I think they still have some cabins left, and they also have some single occupancy cabins. So if you guys just want to go by yourself, they have a few left. So you guys can go to capitaljazz.com to check that out. And it's going to be a great cruise.
Yeah, I wish I could be on that cruise. All righty. You know, we interviewed, speaking of the Capital Jazz Cruise, we interviewed Marcus Anderson, who was the winner of the challenge competition this year. And Marcus has a new CD out called From the Heart. It's a really nice CD. He's only 24 years old, but his music is way beyond his years. His music is so mature, and it's like way beyond his 24 years. So there's a song, I want to play one of the songs from the CD, and while we wait for Gerald Veasley to call in, this is called Carson's Song, and this song is named after his two-year-old daughter. Hey.
Hello?
Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Tara.
Okay. I'm having some problems here with the switchboard. Gerald, if you can hear me, hold on. I'm trying to bring you on.
All right.
Okay. All right. Gerald, can you hear me now?
I hear you well.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I apologize. Yes.
Can you hear me?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. Hey, is this Terry?
Yes, this is.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, doing fine. How are you? I apologize for the technical difficulties we're having here with the switchboard.
No problem.
All right. Meet my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Mike, how are you, buddy?
How you doing, Mr. Vivian? How's it going today?
It's going great.
All right. Well, we are so happy to have you on the show. Thank you so much for calling in.
It's a pleasure.
Now, Gerald, first of all, I want to say that I love your website, especially the vital data page.
I have a feeling some humor is coming in.
Oh, yeah. The cats. What's up with Molly and Coco?
Well, you know, cats are territorial, and I never had cats my whole life until my wife decided we had to have cats. So I'm just still discovering things about cats, but mostly, you know, they've taken over the house, especially my studio. My studio's a cat haven now.
Okay. I love the line where you say that the cats live in different parts of the house until their divorce is final. That is too funny.
Yeah, you know, the one cat, the male cat, Coco, he just pined for this stray cat that would come on our porch. And, you know, as winter drew close, it was hard to not justify taking in the female cat. But once they got in the house together, they just didn't like each other.
Mm.
So they're in counseling now, so I think it may work out.
Oh, wow.
They're in counseling. I have a cat, too. She needs to be on Prozac. She is just crazy.
Cats are crazy.
They are. But they're fun, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they're very territorial. They're very independent. And I love them to death, but my cat is just, she is just crazy.
What's her name? What's your cat's name?
Callie. She's a calico. She's a tortoiseshell calico.
She sounds beautiful.
So I call her Callie.
And spoiled. She sounds beautiful and spoiled rotten.
No, she's not spoiled. You know how cats are. They come to you when they want attention and affection. Otherwise, leave them alone.
Right.
You know, that's how she is. So.
Well, my cat, Coco, is more like a dog. I mean, he does everything but wag his tail when you walk in. He just loves attention.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a weird, he's a weird one.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. Oh,
Mike, you don't have any cats, huh?
No, I don't have any cats, no. No, I don't have any cats at all, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, you don't know what you're missing. They're
you don't
low
know
maintenance.
What he misses, right? Yeah, very low maintenance. I love them because they are very low maintenance. Yes, definitely. So, everyone, we are talking to bassist Gerald Beasley, and if you would like to talk to Gerald, you're more than welcome to call in at 646-716-5485. Gerald has been named Best Electric Bassist in Jazz's Magazine's annual reader poll in 1999. Philadelphia Magazine named him Best Jazz Band. He was voted talent deserving wider recognition in every Downbeat Critics poll from 1983 through 1992. Wow, congratulations.
It's great to be recognized, and a lot of the magazines, you know, we've been fortunate they recognized some of the work that I've done through the years. But the best recognition is, you know, when people come to the concerts and they enjoy me and my band, and I love, you know. One of the things I really love, not to go too far into a tangent, but, you know, it's, you know, we play music for grown folks.
Yes.
And grown folks have issues, let's face it, you know, with the economic problems, you know, and with getting older and dealing with just life. You know, we look at what we do as a ministry. You know, when people come to see us in concert, myself and my band, we take on the responsibility of really just helping people get through the harshness of life. You know, so for that hour or 75 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is, we want it to be something that's going to uplift people, inspire people, give them energy, and send them out the door a little happier than when they came in. So that's what I live for.
All right. Now, in January, Mike and I will be starting a series of interviews called Behind the Artist, and these are going to be interviews with the side men and women, a.k.a. band members. And you could really be one of those interviews because you were a side man for a long time before you decided to come from behind the artist and do your first solo CD. So what made you decide to do that?
I think it was the fact that I loved songwriting since I was a child. I love composing. And being a side man is awesome. I had the good fortune of working with some of the greats, and you learn so much in watching how the person up front carries himself or carries herself. And it's also, it's an area of low risk because it's not your name out there. But I had this collection of songs that I had been writing for so long, and, you know, the only way to really get them out there was to have my own band and have my own recording career. So that's what motivated it more than anything. But I'll tell you, I saw Christine Washington. We got together for her birthday this summer, and that's Grover Washington's widow. And I had a long talk with her, mostly apologizing for anything that I may have done while I was a side man. Because I didn't realize how tough it is, how tough the business is and the challenges and how much pressure it is until I got on the other side of the bandstand. And Grover was someone who really spoiled us as musicians. I was with him for a good 10 years, and the treatment that we received, and anybody that's been through his band can attest to it, was really, really first rate. I mean, when we would travel, he wouldn't allow us to touch our luggage. Everything was first rate. He would. He also made a big deal of whenever he would announce the band, I had to look around when he would talk about this guy named Gerald Veasley and look and see who he was talking about, because he would always just give so everyone in his band the highest praise and kudos. And I could go on and on talking about the experience of having worked with Grover Washington Jr., but learned a lot about how to really treat people well, and I certainly was one of those who was treated exceptionally well in that organization.
Wow. Now, you started playing the bass at 12, and you actually learned from your musically inclined friends, the parents of your friends and everything.
You know, I was forced to take lessons. Okay, I have a daughter now. She's 13, and she's been playing guitar and piano for a few years. And, you know, I have to kind of push her into practicing. But for me, you know, we were so poor growing up that as soon as I got a bass, it was understood that I would have to take it very, very seriously and take lessons and work really hard. But you know what? For me, it was all fun. I mean, when people would ask, well, how long do you practice? I would practice endlessly. I mean, I just had the bass in my hands all the time when I wasn't doing homework or playing a little bit of sports. The bass meant everything to me. So I had formal lessons, you know, at the local music store. And the gentleman who taught me, his name was Al Martin. And he quickly ran out of some of the beginner's books, and he had to dig for other books for me because I was just eating it all up. The other thing I'll say about instruction for us as jazz musicians, a lot of it is formal, but a great deal of it is informal, because you learn listening to records, you learn watching great artists, and certainly you learn playing with artists who challenge you and who are accomplished themselves.
Okay. Now, in my research of you, on you, I came across this clip that I want to play
for
you.
Here we go again. Here we go, Terry. Or what you got, Terry? What you got?
Oh, just listen to this little ditty.
You know what? You should work for the Library of Congress. You missed your call in digging up that stuff. That's from 1917, right? 1923. I love it.
I can't take credit for that. That was sent to me by a guy named D.A. Williams, and I'm trying to bring him in. D.A., can you hear me? Okay, I am just having some issues with this switchboard. D.A., can you hear me? Okay.
D.A., he's hiding in embarrassment. He's on the phone. He just don't want to talk.
His name is D.A. Williams, and that song, Philadelphia Groove, you played with George Howard and his brother, Kay Williams.
That's right.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to get you on, D. Oh, okay. I'm trying to get him on, but this is not working. Hold on, D.A., I'm trying to get you in. But, yeah, he sent that to me, and we just knew you would have a you would enjoy that.
I didn't know whether to dance, laugh, cry. I'm just all twisted up. I'm sitting here in my house. Nobody else can hear it but you and your fans. And I wanted my wife to hear that, see what I did before I met her.
Oh my gosh!
But you know, all jokes aside, that was pretty hot. That was like that '80s vibe, you know, with the big hand clap. It sounded like somebody being whipped.
Wow.
You know, George Howard is interesting. George Howard and I, we grew up literally just blocks from each other here in Philadelphia. But I knew of George, like, when I was in high school and had heard about this great saxophone player. And then I heard about him when he worked with Grover Washington Jr. before I was with Grover. Then I had some friends who met him when he was working on his demo. And then I played on this tune without meeting George. I didn't really get to know George until I had already was working on my third record. And like years and years had gone by. And we run into each other. It was like, man, we should do something. And by the grace of God, I was able to get him to play on an album of mine called Soul Control. I did a cover version of D'Angelo's Lady. And he just tore it up. And then a couple years after that, I played a concert with him over in New Jersey. And it was maybe a year after that that he was gone, that he had passed, you know.
Yes.
He was a great man.
D.A., can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. D.A., meet Gerald Beasley.
Gerald, how you doing, man?
D.A., I'm good, man, but you know what? You got a future, CSI or one of them places. One of those things. You go digging up that stuff. That was incredible. How'd you get your hands on that?
Okay, well, as Terry mentioned, I'm actually K Jr.'s brother, keyboardist.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I knew that you were going to be on Terry's show, and I got some CDs from another mutual friend of ours in Philadelphia, Weldon Arthur McDougal III. Yeah,
good buddy Weldon.
Yeah, and I looked on there, and he told me, he said, man, there's a track on there that your brother did before he passed. And he said, it's him, George Howard, and Gerald Beasley. I was like, really? And so I had to send that to Terry. I thought you'd get a kick out of hearing that. So,
man, that made my day. And your brother, Kay, what a genius he was on the keyboards. I mean, he was a
Absolutely.
Bad man. And he was playing those, you heard that sound, that there. He was doing that before Prince. He was ahead of his time. He was bad.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say, I'm not going to take up any time, but, man, I appreciate all the work you're doing. I'm always there to support my fellow Philadelphia musicians, of course. So,
oh, bless you, man. I appreciate it.
If you ever come through the Midwest, you know, I'm definitely going to stop in and holler at you, man.
What city are you in?
Well, I'm in Ohio now.
You're in Ohio. Okay.
Yeah, I was just up in Philly, though, you know, kicking it with Steve Green and some of the other guys I grew up with, you know. So.
Well, everybody, we apologize for this Philadelphia conversation. It's just me and you, nobody else.
It always happens. It always
happens. Bless you. Bless you, man. Let's stay in touch.
All right, my brother. Bless you, man.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
Thank you,
T.A. Okay,
thank
I'm enjoying the
you.
Show.
Bye, T.A.
All right, bye-bye.
That was fun.
That was cool.
Yeah, I'm going to close the show with that song. All right.
Well, you know, I recognized George right away, even though I haven't heard that song since we recorded it back in 1925. But,
okay.
George has one of those, he has what every musician really wants, especially in jazz or smooth jazz. What they really want is to have an identifiable sound. You know,
mm-hmm,
where you can
mm-hmm.
hear one or two notes, and you know that that's a certain person. And George had that, you know, really did.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about the CD, Your Moves.
Mm-hmm.
This is your eighth CD.
Yes.
And features guitarist Chuck Lowe. So tell us about Your Move.
The cool thing was the collaboration with Chuck Lowe. He produced or co-produced and played on four of the tracks, and you know, he has such a gift with production. I knew from the time I met him a few years ago that one day I'd have to work with him closely in the studio, and it was just awesome. And as a result, I mean, we had some songs that really did well in radio. One called "Slip and Slide," which I'm very pleased with. And it was tricky to play because Chuck is such a perfectionist as a guitar player. And by me being a six-string bass player, there are a lot of things that we can do that are very similar on the instrument. So in working closely with him, you know, I had to mirror what he did, and it was different than the way I would play stuff. And he would kind of give me that look like, that's not it. But I had to dig deep and kind of to keep up with Mr. Lowe. But I tell you, it was wonderful. Somebody asked me the other day at a concert, they said, what's your favorite record? And, you know, my standard response is, you know, they're like my children. You know, I don't have a favorite, you know, eight, eight, eight records, like eight children. You know, they all have something different in terms of personality. But, you know, as parents, we also lie. We know that one is our favorite. We just don't want to make anybody feel bad. So I'm going to come clean and say that Your Move is my favorite CD. There's something about the record. It has, I think all of my records have been attempts to really try to say something emotionally through the music that you can't necessarily say with words. And I think on Your Move, I finally achieved that, really achieved that, really being able to express things. There's a song on there, tell you a quick little story, called Greenwood. And Greenwood happens to be a town that in South Carolina that my mom and aunt comes from, that side of the family. And my aunt told me a story, trying to make it quick, about the great being growing up in the Great Depression. Down in Greenwood, South Carolina, this little bitty town, there was a relief organization that everybody would go to once a month, and you didn't have anything, but they would give dry goods, cloth to make clothing, food, you know, the essentials so that your family could make it through the month. So my grandmother, Lizzie, was very, very dark-skinned. And my grandfather, Gus, was very, 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 very light-skinned. And Gus, every month, would go down with his wagon and his mule. He would go down there and fill up the wagon and then drive back and take care of his family. And everything was going great, you know, until Gus got sick. And Lizzie had to take the wagon down. And when she showed up, She said, I'm here for the Allen family to get, you know, what we need for the month. They said, oh, that's fine. See, are you Gus's maid? She said, no. She said, no, I'm Gus's wife. I'm Lizzie. And the wagon came back empty. So thank God we've come a long way in this country.
Yeah.
We still got a ways to go. But, you know, that story really touched me. And so that's the story behind Greenwood. Oops.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I'm jamming all the time. I got my cell phones jamming. So that's one of those songs that just comes out of, you know, a family experience that really, really moved me. And I'm really looking forward to now what this next record's going to speak, how it's going to speak, because I just got back from Africa. I'll tell you, Terry, Mike, it's life-changing. I had been to South Africa maybe four times in the past, but I had never been to other parts of the area, and I was there partly doing humanitarian work. Also, myself and some other musicians, we were the subject of a film, a documentary that's going to be called A Note of Hope, and we had the opportunity to go to Zambia, Uganda, Ghana, and Ethiopia, and meet a lot of children who were AIDS orphans, meet their families, go to some of the churches, worship, and we just had an awesome, awesome time. But it moved me so much just meeting people who, by American standards, have nothing. They have nothing, but they have this tremendous joy and a sense of hope and a dignity. It just moved me so much. And, of course, I got a chance to work with musicians from those places, too. So I'm just inspired, you know. I'm looking forward to what the next season will bring for me in terms of writing music and playing music. I'm just really, really excited.
Well, I want to get in one song before, you know, I have to let you go. But I want to get in at least one song. And I'm going to play the title track to the CD, Your Move.
All right.
All right. title track to Gerald Beasley's current CD, Your Move. Very nice, very nice.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes. And Gerald was, I'm sorry, Gerald, you went into the Note of Hope and everything. You're into so many different things. Tell us a little bit about the Electric Mingus Project.
Yeah, the Electric Mingus Project celebrates the music of Charles Mingus. He was one of my influences early on as a bass player. And we put together this band that plays this music. It's a little bit more adventurous, a lot more adventurous than smooth jazz, but it's still very accessible. It's uses some electronics, but tries to stay true to the adventurous nature of Charles Mingus. So I hope to get that record out early next year, the Electric Mingus Project. Thanks for asking about that. Also, what I want to mention coming up next for me, you want to hear about it?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to Jamaica with Warren Hill, my good buddy Warren Hill. He's putting on this event. It's going to be an annual event called Jammin' in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen November 18th through the 22nd, and it's an all-star concert, and it's going to be hosted at the Ritz-Carlton. It's an all-inclusive resort. Jonathan Butler is going to be on the program, and Nick Colleone, Jeff Gollop. It's like a who's who of musicians. And if they want more information, they can either go to my website, which is GeraldBeasley.com, or go check it out on Warren's website, WarrenHill.com. But I love Jamaica. I just went there for the first time last year, and I was excited because I have Jamaican roots, I have Jamaican roots, and I had never been there, so that was exciting to get there and get a little taste of that. Maybe you guys could come.
Come out and everything. Well, we will definitely be at Burks this year, and we will hope to be, in your base boot camp.
Are you going to come by the bass boot camp? Please come. It's an exciting event. We do 3 days of just wall-to-wall bass for players of all all playing levels. I don't know what my mouth was about to say, but it's probably nothing good. So if you guys want, I'll even have a bass for you and Terry, Mike. How's that sound?
That's it right there. Okay, I'm down now.
You can learn to play the bass. I'm serious. I'll teach
you
guys.
Hey, I'll be there because I came this year and I seen David Dyson up there, and he was one of your instructors up there.
That's right.
Yeah, because I seen David up there.
Well, you heard of like 10-minute abs?
I can teach you to
play the bass in 10 minutes.
Okay. Did you say 10 minutes alone? Okay, all right. Why
ten
minutes, sir, you in there?
Yes, I'm all the way in.
You in? Okay, there we go. Okay, there we go.
Terry, I know you can groove. But if anybody wants to check out about my bass boot camp, the information there is on my website. We hold it during the Berks Jazz Fest, which is this year starts on March 19th in Reading, PA, and it's a lot of fun. Do you like the festival?
Mm-hmm.
You like the Berks Jazz Fest?
Yes, I love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. Yes, I had a ball there this past year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to announce the lineup next month. Are you performing?
I can give you a sneak preview because I thought maybe you knew about it by your question, Mike. I'm going to debut the Electric Mingus Project. We're going to play that at the Berks Jazz Fest. So look for that. There'll be some other concerts that I'll be involved in, but we'll be premiering that project during the camp during the festival.
Okay, cool. And you're also doing a concert for Grover Washington with Walter Beasley.
Yeah, my good buddy Walter. He's Beasley with a B, I'm Beasley with a V, but we swear we're cousins.
Oh, wow.
And I think of all the saxophone players that were inspired by Grover, I think he comes closest to having that same, a similar sound and spirit on the horn. So, this year marks the 10th anniversary of his passing. It's hard to believe. So, a gentleman who was just a fan who I never met said, man, you ought to do something to honor Grover. And we thought about it, thought about what we can do. And what we came up with was a concert in Reading where the Berks Jazz Fest is held. It's going to be December 11th. And what we're doing is a two-part tribute to Grover. One is we'll play a lot of his hits, you know, songs like Wine Light, Let It Flow, Just the Two of Us. But the other part of the program will be music from his holiday album, which was called A Breath of Heaven.
Yeah.
And Breath of Heaven is a beautiful record that was his sort of Christmas/holiday record that many people may not know about, but is some of the most beautiful music he ever recorded. So it'll be a two-part concert, all in tribute and salute to my mentor Grover, some of his holiday music and some of his smooth jazz hits.
All right. And tell us about your jazz club in Reading.
Well, we just celebrated our fifth anniversary. It's called Gerald Veasley's Jazz Bass. It's inside the Crown Plaza Hotel in Reading, PA. And it's been quite a destination for the region, where we'll have some regional acts, local acts, but we've also had some national acts. Spyro Gyra has played there. What am I saying? We've had the Rippingtons there. We've had Acoustic Alchemy and a lot of top-name smooth jazz acts who come through the club. It's a great location because it's only an hour from Philly. It's a little over an hour from Baltimore. It's maybe an hour and some change from New York. So it's a great, great location for the club. It's intimate, and we just have a ball there every week. So they can find out information there about the club by going to my website as well.
Everything is on your website. I want to say right fast, I don't even have much time, but Gerald, you live by a rule, and I love this rule. Can you tell everybody about rule number 6?
Man, you guys know how to do your homework.
That's right, we do our homework. And while you're at it, can you talk about the name change? Or should I just call you Earl Gerald?
You know, next time I'm gonna have to prepare. I'm gonna have to prepare for my own interview because I'm gonna have to make sure that I know what I've said in the past. Well, rule number six is very simple: is don't take yourself so seriously. Don't take yourself so seriously, and you know that's one thing I try to adhere to. And I think there's a distinction between taking your work seriously and taking yourself so seriously. You know, I take my music very seriously. I consider it, again, a ministry. But myself, not so much. You know, I'm just a person and prone to mistakes and flaws. And, you know, I like to have a good time. I like to help people. But, you know, I'm just... The Bible says that we're dust, you know, and God is merciful because he realizes that we're just dust, and we are. But, you know, while we're here, we can try to make a difference in small ways. So that's what I'm about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
What's the name change about?
The name change?
Yes, the Earl Gerald. When you said... you want to tell the story about you and Walter Beasley and the gentleman close to you?
Right. Walter and I did a show together, and, you know, for years he had been getting people to confuse him with me, and people would confuse, they would come up to me saying, yeah, Walter, I love your music, you know. I would say, no, that's Walter Beasley, you know. So when we did this concert together, he said, this is great because – now I can really tell people that, hey, this is Gerald over here. I'm Walter. You get it? You see, we're not the same person. He plays the bass. I play the saxophone. And sure enough, we're signing autographs, and this guy comes up to me and says, Walter, I love your music. Man, I just almost fell out of my chair. I was like, see, I don't know what more we can do. But thank you, Mike and Terry, for doing your best to to keep us separate. I do appreciate it.
Oh man, too funny.
Yes. Oh, Gerald, I have thoroughly enjoyed you. Thank you so much for calling in, coming on to the show.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure. I'm glad we were able to do it. Thank you so much for your support, and thanks for keeping Smooth Jazz in the ears of people that support and love your show. Thanks for all that you're doing.
Yes.
And we definitely want to have you back because I have a list of a million questions still to ask you, so you have to come back.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to Google to get these answers. I'm saying you got to.
Yes. Yes. I love it on your website.
I pick up on you.
Yes. Because I love it. Because your website is so humorous because, you put on there about the thing with the name change, how you said, I guess, Kenny is Kenny G, and we say Boney James will have a brother named Chubby, and you said you should change the name to Earl Gerald. So, yes, it's you have to go to his website, people. His website is just so funny. Oh, my God, it's funny. Yeah.
GeraldBeasley.com. Check it out. The current CD is called Your Move. You can purchase that on the website. It's also on Amazon.com. So get the CD. And, Gerald, again, thank you so much
for coming on.
And thanks again to DA for that Philadelphia Groove song. Thanks so much.
That was wild. Thanks a lot for that, DA. And, Mike, you take care of yourself, too, buddy. Get a cat, man.
Yeah, I'm going to get a cat. And I'm also going to get a bass before I come up to the bass camp.
You don't even have to bring a bass. I'm going to have a bass there for you. I'm going to have a
bass
for you and a bass for Terry. You can just don't worry about that. Don't put any pressure on yourself. Just come.
Okay. In the military, shows are archived. So we got this already on tape now, okay?
Everything's
archived. So we're going to remind you when March comes, we're going to remind you that you're supposed to have two basses for us.
I'm going to have two. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm dead serious. Just come. Just bring yourself and you know how bass players, we got to kind of move our neck a certain way. That's the only thing I wanted you to work on. Just work on moving your neck. We take care of the rest.
Okay, so get around. Okay, all right. Thanks. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we are too silly.
Thank you, Gerald. We enjoyed it so much. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Bless you both. Take care now.
Yes, take care, Gerald.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, my God. That was too funny. Gerald Beasley. Too funny. Oh, he was great. Thanks again, Gerald, for calling in. DA, thank you again so much for that song. That was a lot of fun. Thanks, Light08, for coming into the show, joining the chat room. And the guests that are in the chat room, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. Mike, any last words?
I got to start practicing moving my neck.
just
got to start practicing now.
I am a left. I'm going to be a left-hand bass player.
Oh, wow.
All right. Tomorrow we have a 23-year-old bassist on named Chris Burchette, and he will be on tomorrow. So you have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz on blogtalkradio.com with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow. Here is more of Philadelphia Groove.